Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to win the highest bid in the destination media buying landscape.
Nice.
Yeah, I mixed it up a little bit this
creative.
Time.
Creative.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm Josh Scheer.
And I'm Sasha Jackson.
And we are your hosts today, as we always are.
Yes, yep, we're here again.
Did you miss us?
Are you asking me?
I was waiting for an answer from...
You know, like, in Europe, they say, like, us for, like, me and I sometimes. They're like, did you miss us? But it's like, they're talking about themselves. So I didn't know if you were doing that now or if you were talking to our audience.
I know you don't miss me, Sasha.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, so let's see. Before we get started, I feel like I'm really excited about everything we're doing on social media right now. So I just kind of want to, I know we hit it sometimes at the end of the episode, but I want to talk about it now because we're on TikTok and we're doing things.
We are. And is excited the word? I don't know, but we are there and we are doing things.
I'm excited about it. I mean, it might be really stupid.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it gives you a laugh, right?
Yeah. That's what we're going for. Nothing serious there.
Yeah.
And if you don't use TikTok, you can probably find those on Instagram. Sometimes mm-hmm. we repost them as reels.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So if you like what we do and you think we're somewhat funny, maybe follow us on social. So we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok, all as Tourism Media Mayhem Podcast. Yep.
And if you have questions or you have a topic that you want us to cover, hit us up. That's a great place. And LinkedIn too. Like, we'd love to hear more about what you guys want us to talk about.
Yeah. So when you say you, are you talking to me or are you talking to...
not the same.
Oh, okay.
Nice try.
Yeah. It is what it is. Anyway. Okay. So today I thought we'd go back to some basics of digital marketing. Maybe take you to school a little bit, Sasha.
Okay. I was going to say I like it till you said that.
Well, don't act like you know everything.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay, so I have a question.
What is it?
When you personally are planning a trip,
okay,
what is, like, let's say you roughly know where you want to go. How do you go about planning it?
Good question. Haven't traveled in a little while.
You're killing me.
I have to think back, like, a few years, like, quite a few years, to maybe our big Italy trip. And I honestly did a lot of research, like, all over the web. And I was very ambitious, and I booked everything up front, like, all of our tickets to every attraction because you got better deals, and then you skipped the lines. So I used a little bit of, you know, booking platforms. Like, I did look on Trip and, you know, those types of platforms, but I did a lot of just cold research online. Like, I just researched the actual facilities and, like, museums that I wanted to go to. And then I just switched it to, like, the English pages. And then, yeah, I found out. And I read, I actually read, like, some forums and stuff and, like, figured out, like, where the best place to buy certain passes and things were. Anyways, it was a very complicated trip, but it went off without a hitch. Like, all of our events that we hit and, like, everything was good, but... extensive. So that's the trip I can think of that we extensively plan. Well, by we, I mean me. My husband did not plan. I planned very extensively.
Sorry, Jason, under the bus.
Love you, Jason.
Poor guy. Sorry, Jason. Well, I have two comments in reaction to that. Okay. One, just for all you listeners' sake, we do get PTO here at Relic. Sasha just doesn't use it. So we're not...
Like, oh, for trips?
Yeah. You're like, I never take trips.
Oh, to be clear, I'm taking a lot of time off. I just haven't.
Not vacations.
Yeah, I have a 2-year-old, so I just haven't.
I just have to make sure people know.
Cool vacations.
We do take time off.
We do, yeah. Less so as a working mom, but yeah.
Different kind of time off.
Yeah.
Secondly, that was a lot more detail that I needed.
Oh, okay.
But you did kind of get to.
You hit me with it, so.
Yeah, no, I should have expected it. But, okay, follow-up question.
Okay.
In your research, did you use a URL called google.com?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to Google a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so you were searching a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, that leads me to today's topic. That was a long lead-up. We're going to talk about paid search, PPC, pay-per-click, all those words, sometimes called SEM or search engine marketing. Mm-hmm. So are you comfortable with that concept, Sasha, like what PPC is?
I feel like I have a basic understanding, but why don't you give me like the full description per your digital marketing terms?
Per my terms?
Yeah.
Okay. So I nerd out about PPC. It's kind of what got me into digital marketing in general. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to not get too in the weeds in this episode. So stop me if you're like, Josh, this is just stupid. I mean, this is going to happen multiple times anyway, but just anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. But
saving those.
Yes. Just hold on to them for a bit.
I got him. I'm holding him.
So pay-per-click is, you know, when you're looking at a Google search mm-hmm. results page, there's usually some ads at the top, and then there's all the organic listings below that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So PPC or paid search is the process of buying those ad spots at the top of those search pages.
Yep. And they usually say sponsored by or some kind of sponsored
there's a little
message,
ad
right?
Icon.
So that's
next
how
to
you
them.
Know like those are the ads.
Yeah, for sure. And usually, oftentimes, especially over the last couple of years, you'll see that those ad spaces take up a lot more space than the organic listings. And that's because people are paying for it.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question about PPC right off the bat. I've heard it called a variety of things.
Okay.
So I've heard SEM, I've heard PPC and pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really know, like, is there a difference between those?
You're triggering me a little bit.
Okay.
Because I hate the term SEM.
I know you do.
I know. You're setting me up. So search engine marketing, or SEM, is such a broad term. I kind of like to think of it as like anything that has to do with marketing on search engines. So that could be organic work through like SEO, search engine optimization. That could be buying those ad spaces. It could be any of that. But some people use SEM to mean the paid ads piece when it's just confusing. So I try not to use that. I try to be more specific and say PPC or SEO if I'm going to divide the two. Pay-per-click, that the acronym's PPC.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of is from the old days of internet marketing where what you're paying for as an advertiser is when someone clicks on that ad and not the impressions served. So it's pay-per-click.
And you say the old days. Does that mean things have changed as far as paying per click?
Well, no. I mean, there's still most of search engine marketing is still pay per click.
Mm-hmm.
And most other ad buys are often still impression based. You're buying the space in the eyeballs versus the actual clicks.
Yeah.
But there are more exceptions now than there used to be.
Interesting. Yeah. I'd be curious to know what those are. But we can talk about that if you have it planned for later.
Nope.
Do you want to talk about it now?
Nope.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay, so we've established that PPC, that's just the term we're going to use from here on out. We've established that PPC is that ad space at the top of the search results. Sometimes there's some at the bottom of the search results. The way it works, I'll try to get into that a little bit. Everything, like lots of online media buying, is auction-based. So there's a lot of people, a lot of advertisers trying to get into the same space. And so you have to bid for that space. And how you win or lose an auction is based on a lot of different factors. But what you're particularly bidding on in the PPC world is keywords. So you want to make sure that your ad is relevant to what someone's searching for. So you're not just going to like bid on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bid on keywords that are most relevant to you or your destination.
So how often do you bid on a competitor's name or competitor keywords specifically?
Is that you're getting into conquesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. Let's save that for a little bit.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay.
So when you're bidding on keywords, I want to think about, like, I'm going to try to not think generally about this. I'm going to try to focus in on tourism here.
Okay.
Because
probably smart.
That's probably it's the topic.
That... Probably our whole podcast. Okay.
Thanks, Sasha.
Yep.
Yeah. So when you as a destination are bidding on keywords, you got to think about what people are looking for when they're trying to plan a trip to your destination. So, for example, Sasha, let me ask you a couple questions. Mm-hmm. When you were planning that Italy trip,
yep.
What were some of the things you were using Google to search for? If you don't, been like a decade. So, yeah. Like, maybe just hypotheticals.
Memory's not so great. So, yeah. I looked up museums. I mean, that's one of the main things I used. And I just had to straight Google, like, Colosseum, you know? I mean, not a museum, but I just looked up attractions. Mm-hmm. A museum. So I would just Google, I would try to find the official website, and then, because I didn't know what those were, you know, off the top of my head.
But yeah.
Yeah. Then I found them, and then it kind of poked around on the site.
Yeah. So you were searching specifically for attractions. So attraction-based keywords are probably things you'd want to consider bidding on. I know a lot of our destination clients bid on very generic things, like things to do in Italy or things to do in Rome. Or to be clear, Rome's not a client. But that's...
Dang it.
Working on it. If you're listening, visit Rome. Let's talk. Anyway.
No, one other thing I did search a lot were tours. So I would search, like, hey, tours for the Colosseum. And then I would get a lot of different ads for that because so many different places will offer that tour. So I didn't just search for, like, the actual websites. I did search tours. And that's kind of tying into what you're saying. Like, so many different people were bidding on tour on that keyword. And so, yeah, you would get a lot of different ad options there.
Yeah, for sure. So that actually brings up a really interesting point and something that we've been talking more about internally with some of our clients is a lot of the typical destination keywords are tour-based or attraction-based or even lodging-based. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll be bidding on the keywords that directly represent our stakeholders. So if there's a theme park in one of our stakeholders' destinations, we might be bidding on that keyword. But that stakeholder might also be bidding on that keyword.
Oh, interesting.
So you don't want to create in-destination competition either. So you should be very thoughtful about how you're bidding on keywords and what makes the most sense.
Do you find that that's usually a collaborative effort or some conversations between the DMO and that particular like amusement park or attraction?
It definitely should be more of a conversation than I think it actually is.
Yeah.
I think right now, a lot of destinations are just trying to reach as many people searching for things that are relevant as possible, but they're not thinking about maybe necessarily how it impacts the stakeholders that could also be bidding on the same things. So definitely recommend opening up those conversations because there's probably ways that you could collaborate or negotiate on who's going to bid on what because you want to make sure that the person who's actually searching has the best experience. So if it's going to be better for them to go to the attractions website than the DMO's website, maybe you should do that.
Yeah.
Which?
Book more things, stay a little longer.
Yeah. So probably beginning with onboarding a new destination client, I'm speaking from an agency perspective here.
Sure.
I will sit down with the client and get a feel for what the attractions are, what the main drivers for visitation actually are, and then what me and my team will do is we work with a couple different tools. One is called SEMrush. Another is Google's Keyword Planner. And we'll put in some hypothetical searches, like things to do in X destination and some of those specific attraction-based keywords.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll spit out a whole bunch of relevant ideas that it knows that these two tools know there are volume for.
How interesting.
So then we'll take those, use that to generate more ideas, and then build out the campaign.
Nice. So is SEMrush, I would assume there are many platforms that can do this.
Yeah,
I'm curious if you could speak to, like, what are those platforms? What are good options? What is the best? Like, is SEMrush the best? Or are there, like, a few other good options DMOs could look at?
So among the tools that are out there, I mean, there are a bunch. There's not enough time to get into all of them. SEMrush is a good one. It is a paid tool. Uber suggests is another good one.
Uber, is it associated with Uber?
No.
Okay.
It's Neil Patel's platform. If you're in the marketing world, he's a big SEO guru, but you can use it for keyword planning. Okay. And then Google's own keyword planner is a really good tool to use. There are other ones out there. One that I've messed with in the past, Julie will have to bleep this, but it's called Keyword. You put in a couple ideas and there's a little image of a toilet and then it just spits out all these different keyword ideas.
Nice.
And it's amazing.
Keeping it exciting.
Yeah. But it's yeah. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Typically, though, in general, when you're trying to bid on your keywords, you got to think about things that are specific to your destination. And you want to think about what people would actually be searching for if they're trying to plan a trip. So let's take a step back real quick and think about PPC's place in the marketing funnel. We talk a lot about awareness-based marketing and consideration marketing and purchase marketing. PPC definitely lives in that low consideration to purchase phase of the funnel. So people are using Google to decide what they want to do when they come somewhere or to confirm that they want to go somewhere. So think about that and think about what people would be searching for. You don't necessarily, let's say you're a small county in Nebraska, you're not going to want to be bidding on keywords that are related to just like things to do with my family or like family vacation ideas. Like it's too broad. There will be billions of searches and you'll blow through your budget and it's not going to be very targeted. So
that makes sense. I have another question then for you. So as you're researching what keywords to actually use, is there a component of that research that looks at what keywords people are actioning on more? Like, let's say there are keywords that are showing in search but aren't clicked. Like, do you also have data as far as, hey, this is being searched, but this is also being clicked? So that you can kind of see like, hey, it's being searched and people are taking action. So is that part of the research and decision-making process?
It would be if we could. So right now, just because there are, for every single search, there are 20, 40, a million different results that could be clicked on for each individual search. And depending on who that person is and what targeting criteria you've layered onto those keywords, click volume is just kind of nebulous. So
you don't know going into it.
No. So you want to think about like the higher volume keywords, more likely you'll be able to find a place in those auctions. And you'll get impression estimates in those keyword planners.
Nice.
And then what I've typically done, if you've got an okay budget, I'm thinking $2,500 plus per month, especially on a new account, build out as many keywords as you want. And then whittle them down. So the ones that have lower click-through rates over time, you can start to purge them from your account and not waste time and money on, and then focus on the ones that are actually getting clicked.
So in doing that, what is an appropriate amount of time before you start whittling ones out? Like, what time frame do you need to know which are performing well? Like, I guess, how long should it be running before you can assess, hey, it's working or no, it's not?
It all depends on volume. So, and that can depend on how much budget you're putting into it and how many searches there actually are. So if you've got thousands of dollars towards a small amount of keywords, you're going to have a lot of volume really quick. And that's great. Yeah. Or maybe your keywords are so specific that there's only a few hundred people searching them each month. It'll take you more time to actually get there. So when I'm starting a new account, because I get this question from clients, typically what I'll say is if it's a smaller budget, $2,500 or less, I'd say give us at least 6 weeks. 6 weeks to learn what people are doing, what people are clicking on, and then we can start to optimize and improve the performance of the account.
Nice. So what would be a good cost per click for tourism? Like, what is average? What have you seen as far as, let's say it's a really strong campaign, what cost per click is really positive?
Yeah, if you've got targeting dialed in and everything's hyper relevant, I'd expect costs per click to range from 50 cents to $2 to $3 per click. Just depends on how much competition there is. and that kind of thing. So 50 it can.
Cents, that's pretty great.
Yeah, and that's assuming that there's not a lot of volume and there's not a lot of other people bidding on it.
Yeah.
So I've seen that for destinations that are very small and specific, and nobody else is going to be bidding on their keywords, it can be really cheap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so walk me through the optimization process. Ideally, what should a DMO be doing when it comes to optimizing their pay-per-click?
Great question. Well phrased.
Thank you.
So that's a loaded question. I'm going to start with, real quick, just a couple of the other targeting things you can add to the keyword level. So on your keywords, you can also apply location filters. Mm-hmm. So people searching for this when they're in a certain location.
Nice.
Maybe you're targeting certain geos with other more awareness-based advertising, and you want to back that up with a lower funnel tactic. You might want to pick that geo.
How granular does the geo targeting go?
It can get down to zip code.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, oh, good question. 99% sure you can get to within like a 1 to 2 mile radius.
Okay.
If you really want to, that small.
Nice.
Obviously, there wouldn't be a ton of volume.
Yeah.
Depending on how narrow your keywords are. But yeah. Anyway, there you go. In addition to that, Google has a lot of its own pre-baked audiences. So, okay. People who they know are in market for different things because of their search behavior.
Oh, interesting.
How
does that play into? I thought people couldn't be tracked online, like the whole cookie spill privacy stuff.
Well, Google owns search. So on their platform, if people are searching for different things, that's allowable.
Okay.
It's nice. Once they leave Google search.
Got it.
They can't.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, for iOS 14 users and stuff.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, no, that was a good question. Yeah, so you've got these audience-based things. So in-market, interest-based, you can build custom audiences. You can upload email lists. It gets kind of crazy. So you can layer in all sorts of different stuff. But to your question about, like, optimization and when it makes sense to do it, when not, if it's a brand-new campaign, definitely let it bake for at least 3 weeks before making any major changes.
Okay.
Because things could, sometimes it takes a minute for Google's algorithms to understand exactly what you're going for. And so that's really important to give that automation time to do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is possible to over-optimize PPC campaigns.
Okay.
So if you're making changes more than once every week or two, every time you make a change, especially on like your budgets or your bids, Google's going to have to adjust, and it'll go back into a learning period, and it'll slow things down, and you're not allowing it time to actually learn and improve. So I definitely don't recommend making any changes more often than every couple weeks. But looking at metrics like click-through rates, conversion rates, ad performance, those are all things you want to look at for optimization points and that sort of thing.
Nice. I had some more questions and I worked on that answer.
Well, let me dive into a couple other like tips and tricks real quick. I'm avoiding a lot of the conversation about full account structures, and there are multiple different ad types you can do in Google Ads and that sort of thing. So we're not going to get that specific. But Google has, over the last couple of years, created more responsive ad options. So you give Google like a batch of headlines and descriptions for these text ads.
Mm-hmm.
You allow it to mix and match based on what the person's searching for and their past behavior and signals we can't see, but Google can. And I always have been a little hesitant to trust Google with making those kinds of decisions for me. I'm a little bit of a control freak, but over the last year or so, like, performance has proved out that they know what they're doing, and these are actually important things to use.
Wait, and when you say they can put it in their own order, does that mean normally you can say, hey, this keyword first, this keyword second, and
that
they arrange that? Or maybe I'm not understanding that.
Maybe I should back up a little bit. So with each keyword that you're bidding on, you will write ad copy for those keywords. And those ads involve 2 to 3 headlines in a certain order, and then a couple of lines of description text.
I got it. So they might bump the subhead to the main header.
Yeah, you would just say, like, here's a bunch of headlines you can use, here's a bunch of description lines you can use, and they'll mix and match it.
Okay.
That's rather cool. than you defining the order.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's something to think about. I want to say be specific with everything. I harped on that with keywords, but in the way that your account's built, you want to make sure your ad copy is matched as closely to your keywords as possible. Like if someone's searching for how to tour the Colosseum, for example, you don't want a headline to say something about something else you can do in Rome. Mm-hmm. It has to be specific to the Colosseum. So make sure you're building your account so that that happens. And think hard about your landing pages. So much about the success of a PPC campaign happens after the click. So you want people to do stuff on the website afterwards. Make sure that you are sending people to the right place on the site. Don't just push everyone to your homepage. Actually think about what they're intending with that search and give them the page that makes the most sense.
Nothing makes me more mad than clicking to a homepage.
It's awful.
Mainly
it's such
when
a
I'm
bad
shopping.
User experience.
And I want to buy a shirt and I click the ad and then it goes to the homepage. And then I can't find the shirt. I give up. If I go to a homepage, I'm out of there. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing. Forget it.
Yeah. No, it's awful.
Super important. Yeah.
Yeah. So important. Make sure you're tracking everything. Use the conversion codes that Google Ads gives you. Make sure that you're watching through Google Analytics how people are behaving on the website after they click on an ad.
Wait, I don't know what conversion codes are.
Okay, so with Google Ads and like most other digital ad platforms, there are pixels or pieces of code that you will put on the website to track user behavior.
Yep.
So make sure those are configured appropriately.
Yes. And so you're learning. Actually track conversions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So for very destinations, important. That could be anything from booking a hotel, if you've got a booking engine on your site, mm-hmm. to clicks to lodging partners from the site to other people.
Nice.
Or travel guide downloads, newsletter signups.
Yep. Cool.
And one other tip. Utilize attribution models. We won't get into what attribution totally is, but it basically is how you tell the ad platform to measure the impact of certain clicks on a conversion.
Okay.
Traditionally, everything's last click, where mm-hmm. the last ad that someone interacts with gets credit for any conversion that happens. But realistically, most people search for things two or three times. And they might engage with two or three of your ads. And you want to make sure that the other ads that they interacted with get some credit, because it probably wouldn't have happened without those.
Sure.
So I like position-based. That's my go-to attribution model. We could do a whole episode on attribution.
Yeah. So do you just look at that in analytics and assess the attribution? Or is there a tool that helps you understand that?
You set the attribution model within Google Ads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And assign it to that conversion action. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Can I tell a story?
Please.
Okay. So, I recently got the opportunity to look at another destination's ad account that was being run by someone else, not mm-hmm. us. And I always like when I get to audit other accounts, because it gives sure. me a chance to learn and see what we can do better and find out how we could potentially help the client more if they
sure.
were to work with us. And there were a couple of things that stood out to me that I just want to, like, consider it like advice for any destination out there who is outsourcing their PPC.
Please, yes.
I think we at Relic really thrive on transparency. We want to make sure that our clients know what's happening. And so I want to make sure you all know the right questions to ask when you're talking to your agency or even your team member who's running your PPC. So a couple of things specifically that you should think about is everybody likes to ask about different ad benchmarks or performance benchmarks. And those really can vary based on industry and the type of keyword even that you're bidding on. Your ad partner will tell you certain numbers, and I could even throw some hypotheticals out there, but you should go verify them yourself. There's just use Google and do some searching and make sure that what you're hearing from your partner is accurate. Secondly, you asked the question, Sasha, about optimization. There is, while I did warn against over-optimization, there's no world where it doesn't make sense not to do optimization. So ask your PPC partner what they're doing on a regular basis to improve performance. This one account I was auditing, 3+ months went by without a single change being made. And while performance overall was okay, and there weren't any major red flags, things could have been better if someone was actively looking at it and making some changes.
Sure. So would you say at the minimum once a month at least? Like we should, like campaigns should be optimized at least once a month.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's, if not a couple times a month.
Yeah. But even like a really basic one that I make sure my team does is you can review search term reports to see what people were searching that then triggered your ads. The specific words and phrases, not just your keywords. And sometimes you'll find in there that someone was searching for something totally irrelevant, but ended up clicking on an ad anyway. You can create negative keywords and say, if this phrase comes up, don't show my ad. And that helps a lot. Nice. Really basic stuff. So make sure you're holding your partners accountable and asking those questions for details. And then ensure your targeting is what you want it to be. Especially if you've got a smaller budget, if you've got a certain set of geographies you want to target, make sure that those are actually being targeted. You can set targeting too wide. And just for example, this one I was auditing had their geography set to the entire country.
Oh, whoa.
And
how big was the budget?
Not big.
Okay.
We'll
no
say
one should really be
was,
doing the full country,
it was
right?
Like a couple. I mean, it depends on how much money you have. But this account in particular had just a couple grand per month. And digging into reports to see where ads were being served, a good 70% of those ads that were triggered were people who were in destination already. Not people planning trips, people who were already there. And how many of those were locals?
Yeah, so
we
you
don't
usually
know.
Kind of exclude in destination unless you're using it for something very specific, right?
Yeah, which brings me to one other thing. Google's targeting is not perfect. So even if you say anyone in the U.S., there's a chance that because of the way Google measures location, it can be people who are in or interested in that location. So with this account in particular, there were a solid 30% of their total ad spend was served out of the country. And from what I know about this client, they're not marketing internationally.
Yeah, well, a lot of people aren't still just
and
with
lots of international
COVID,
travel isn't happening. So make sure that those leakages aren't happening. And just like we can do negative keywords, you can do negative locations and exclude people who you don't actually want to show
up. You're going to talk about conquesting. Do you want to touch on that really quick? That comes up a lot.
That's so much fun.
And it sounds really cool.
Okay. So conquesting is such a cool word.
Yes.
That's hack.
I like it.
So conquesting or bidding on competitors' keywords is something that some people frown on. I kind of enjoy. Maybe that makes me a bad person.
But I
am kind of a bad person.
But I mean, tourists don't, or visitors don't really see county or state lines. Maybe state, but not as much county. So wouldn't it make sense if they're already planning a trip, especially from out of state, to maybe hit? I mean, we're in Utah and we have all of the Southern Utah attractions. And so sometimes conquesting makes sense because someone might be planning multiple park trips in Southern Utah. And so doesn't that make sense from a visitor standpoint to capture them, to at least let them know, hey, while you're here, you could, not that you shouldn't do the competitor's activity, but just in addition, stay longer and come see us as well, or pop over while you're here.
Great question. So a perfect example would be we work with a couple counties around Salt Lake. Salt Lake's the major airport hub. So if people are searching for things to do in Salt Lake or where to stay in Salt Lake or whatever, it might make sense for some of these neighboring counties to bid on those searches to try to get some of that traffic from the other destinations. So you can totally do that. It's you can bid on any keyword you want ever. So it can even be a specific brand name, whatever you want it to be. The
does
only thing that
does it do pretty well in general, like when it's used effectively?
When used effectively, it can be okay. The dangers of conquesting is you are not exactly what someone was searching for.
Sure.
Someone was searching for Salt Lake, but you're north of Salt Lake and they might not care to drive extra or to get a rental car or something.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a risk, but there's some reward there too.
It shouldn't be the focus of your budget then.
No.
It should be a side campaign.
Yeah. It's more like if you feel like you've got everything else kind of dialed in and you've got some extra money,
yeah,
do some conquesting.
Well, and if you know in your region, a lot of visitors come and hit three counties because of the particular attractions there, and it might make just a lot of sense for you, right? If you already mm-hmm. kind of know, oh, a lot of visitors travel this certain route, right? Or like mm-hmm. they do this series of events when they're here in our state, like then you might kind of know if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like if you, for example, if you are like a on the drive route to Yellowstone, you might want to make sure that people stop and stay in your destination for a day or yeah. two instead of driving through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool. So, yeah. Oh, the one other danger of conquesting that I was just going to throw out. If you are bidding on specific brand names or trademark terms, you are not allowed to use them in your ads. You can mm-hmm. bid on those searches, okay. but you can't use those words in your ads.
I was going to ask, that reminded me, like, what restrictions does Google put on what you can say in a pay-per-click ad beyond names that you just mentioned? Are there other things you can't say or, like, weird rules?
They have a laundry list of policies and things you can and can't advertise for. So right now, if your destination has recreational cannabis, you can't market that.
Okay.
Or even medicinal, I don't think you can.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So there are
like a list
there are
on
some,
their site or something?
Yeah, you okay. can dig into their policies and find all sorts of specifics. But for the most part, you don't run into that with tourism all that much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good question. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I could talk about this all day. I won't because we're probably running out of time here soon. But to your point about like things you can and can't do, this isn't necessarily something you can't do. But earlier I was talking about making sure that your landing pages are very relevant to what people were searching yes. and what the ad copy says, right? Google really cares about that relevancy. Mm. So let's say you are sending people to a homepage for a very specific search. Google's not going to like that. Because they can read what's on your site and they know where that you're sending people, you will kind of get penalized.
Okay, so I was going to say, I know Google likes to penalize
yes.
people.
So in the bid process, mm-hmm. there are these ad rank factors, and mm-hmm. one of them is relevancy.
Okay.
And so if you are very irrelevant to the searches, you're going to have to pay more for that click.
Interesting. So do you have to pay more for conquesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Typically, conquesting is a little more expensive.
Got it.
And it won't be as effective.
Which makes sense. I mean, Google yeah. wants their product to be strong. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Very cool.
I think I've talked enough, Sasha. I'm kind of out of breath.
Yeah, me too. I mean, as in you've talked enough.
Rude. Okay, I've talked enough now, Sasha. Take
okay.
us out.
Well, thanks, Josh. This was really educational. And okay, I do have one last question, though. How important is pay-per-click for a destination, like, in your marketing mix? How important is it?
If you are very concerned about making sure that people who are interested get to your site and your SEO is not where you want it to be, it's very important.
Very important.
Yes.
Nice. Well, cool.
And if you are, if you're held accountable for website performance metrics and conversions by your board or your council, yeah, it's very important.
Yeah. Visitors are already a little bit interested probably. So it's a really good place to be.
Yep. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Nice. Well, thanks, Josh. I think I learned a lot. I did. I'll say it.
Wow.
No, it's really, I think pay-per-click is actually really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. Thanks you guys for listening today. And I know we said it at the beginning, but you can find us on LinkedIn and Instagram and even TikTok. So and we have some content out there. Don't laugh at us too hard.
Oh, please do.
or okay.
Yeah.
But shoot us questions if you have questions. Shoot us requests if you have those. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Peace out.